Blog Talk Radio. You're listening to the Conservative Cauldron, Bewitching Radio.
Everybody, you are listening to the Conservative Cauldron, Conservative Cauldron Radio. My name is Becky Noble. It is Friday, finally. I am so happy. Been kind of a crazy week here for those of us in the Midwest and St. Louis and surrounding areas, especially with the big, gigantic snowstorm that we all endured yesterday. If you were somebody who was fortunate enough to be able to leave your job at a reasonable hour, say noon or 1 o'clock in the afternoon, you didn't have a whole bunch of problems. But boy, I heard some stories later. It got in the day. Later, it got towards evening that people really had a tough time. But hopefully, everybody made it home safe and sound yesterday. I'm glad you all could join me here tonight. We got a lot to talk about this week. We've got the ongoing gun control debate, and apparently, the Colorado legislature doesn't think that women are, well, we're kind of too stupid to use guns, I guess. You've got people in the Missouri State House right here in Missouri kind of out billing each other. My bill is bigger than your bill kind of thing. We've got some new immigration news. The president wants to pass his own immigration reform bill. And that's really kind of interesting because if anybody has ever taken a look at the Mexican immigration policies, well, they're a little different than ours. Just a tad bit more stringent than ours, which, well, quite frankly, doesn't take much now, does it? Let's see. We had Lincoln Days here last weekend in St. Louis here, the Missouri Republican Party. I was there both days. It was a fabulous time. There was a ton of people to talk to, lots to see and do, and lots of people to hang out with. I'll get into that just a little bit. And, of course, the big talk right now is the sequester that will possibly go into effect next Friday. So there's lots of stuff going on here. There's all kinds of polls. I mean, everybody and their brother will take a poll to see, to get the feel of what Americans are really thinking about, to get the feel of what is really the most important to the American people. And I found a poll here. It was done by CBS News. You know, whatever your feelings about CBS News are one way or the other, I'll let you be the judge of that. But this is a CBS News poll. It was taken between February 6th and February 10th. And the question that they asked was, what is the most important problem facing the country today? And by far, the number one thing that people cited was the economy and jobs at 40%. Coming right after that, there wasn't even anything close. Coming right after that, the budget deficit and the national debt, that was at 11%. Gun control was at a whopping 4%. So that is how much that gun control is on the minds of the American people right now, even what, we're 2 months out from Sandy Hook. Immigration was also a whopper at 3%, healthcare at 3%. And the thing with healthcare, as we get more into Obamacare and more of it starts to be implemented, that's going to be a bigger problem for people because it's going to begin to affect everything in their life. And the other thing here, 35% of people, believe it or not, were other things that other than these things were more important to them. Whatever those things were, you know, God bless you. And the other, there was 4% who were unsure. I don't know if they're too busy, I don't know, playing games on the computer in their mom's basement. Who knows? But anyway, you know, with that poll there saying that gun control is at a whopping 4%, you know, this is still very, very front and center because there's different legislatures here who are doing a lot of different things. Right here in Missouri, in Jefferson City, we had two different bills here. One brought about by the Republicans, another one brought about like from the Democrats. And like I was saying, it's kind of a, you know, you're kind of expecting to hear Deliverance music in the background. It's dueling bills. But the Democrats wanted to propose a bill. It was proposed by St. Louis area House Democrats that would contain an assault weapons ban, of course. Because what would a gun bill be without an assault weapons ban? The bill would require owners of semi-automatic weapons to surrender, destroy, or send their guns to another state within 90 days of the measure's passage. Good luck with that, St. Louis-based House Democrats. Missouri is, and has been for quite a while, is a pretty red state. And so if you can pry the guns out of law-abiding, gun-owning Missourians, my hat's off to you. So in response to that, we had Representative Mike Lira, who's from here, right here in South St. Louis County. He proposed, this comes from the CBS affiliate here in St. Louis, a Missouri lawmaker is proposing to send colleagues to prison for introducing gun control legislation, a plan that even its sponsor acknowledges has no chance of passing, but nonetheless highlights the increasingly strident tone of gun measures in Missouri's generally pro-gun lobby. And what this bill would do, Representative Lira's bill would do, would be it would make lawmakers guilty of a felony punishable by up to 4 years in prison if they even introduced legislation restricting gun rights. So, again, we have in Missouri here, we kind of have my bill is bigger than yours, can you top this kind of thing? And, you know, while that's all well and good, people are making points, but it does nothing, at least here in Missouri, it does nothing to further the debate, and it does nothing to get where we want to be as far as gun measures. We certainly don't want to infringe on anybody's Second Amendment rights, that's for sure. But, you know, I don't think that all of these liberal lawmakers are going to go away. You know, and nobody's saying that an incident like what happened in Newtown should be ignored. Absolutely not. But it's one of those incidents that is, you know, the liberal gun-restricting, you know, lawmakers and others of like mind, because of that incident, they're gonna keep coming at you. So there's going to have to be some ongoing debate about this issue. But so we've got that here in Missouri. Well, Colorado had quite a few, they had some different measures, maybe, to go about women, at least for women, protecting themselves and protecting themselves on college campuses. In the Colorado House of Representatives, they, on Monday, this is from the International Business Times, the Colorado House was debating HB 1226, which would ban all people, including concealed weapons permit holders, from carrying guns on the campuses of the state's public universities. Well, the House passed the bill by a vote of 34-31, but some comments made by some of the state representatives there in Denver kind of made some national news, if for nothing else, because of the sheer absurdity of them. We had Democratic Rep. Joe Salazar during Friday's debate arguing that students should not have access to guns, even to protect themselves from being raped. And his quote was, "It's why we have call boxes. It's why we have safe zones. It's why we have whistles." Okay, well, are you, you know, first of all, is there a big yellow line around the safe zone? So as soon as you feel like that you're going to be attacked, you're going to hurry up and you're going to run to that line, and you're going to dare your attacker, you're going to dare your rapist, "Don't cross that line because I'm in the safe zone." Yeah, I think that's really going to work. You know, a whistle, you know, quite frankly, if I'm attacking somebody and they're making a lot of noise and a lot of racket with a whistle, that's just going to piss me off. And it's going to make me want to attack them more. So I'm thinking that something like that, something like a whistle, any kind of attention getter like that, is just going to make them mad. But then we had another one of the legislators there in Colorado. Well, he's thinking ballpoint pens are the way to go.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I did just want to say, and I know the comment was made a bit lighthearted to our witness, but I don't think we should take it lighthearted that when Congressman Giffords was shot and there was a shooting in the Arizona supermarket, people who were unarmed took that person down when he stopped to reload. And so there are other ways to address violence, and it doesn't mean that we have our kids exposed to a whole crossfire of multiple folks in a room shooting simultaneously. And that Congressman Giffords' life was saved, and so many others, when very valiant folks stood up to defend themselves and protect themselves, and they did it with ballpoint pens.
Really? Really? A ballpoint pen? Okay, so you've got your pen, and all of a sudden this person comes up behind you. Okay, first of all, while this person is attacking you, you have to fumble around in your pockets or your purse or wherever it is that you keep your ballpoint pens to actually get your ballpoint pen in your hand so you can gouge that guy's eyes out with it. Really? Really? But, you know, oh, these guys, these poor guys. I mean, don't these guys have any women? And they're like, what they're saying is that they want their mothers, they want their wives, they want their daughters, they want their sisters to be armed with ballpoint pens. Okay. Well, you know, the university also put out their own list of possible things that you can do to prevent yourself from being attacked. And the one, you know, the one that was the cherry on the cake of this whole list of 10 different things that you might do to prevent yourself from being attacked was vomiting or urinating may also convince the attacker to leave you alone. Again, are you really interested in pissing this person off even more? No pun intended. Or do you just want them to leave you alone? You know, it was one of those things that I think when most people heard it, including myself, you know, you even dignify that with an answer, you know. So anyway, we've had that. Let's see, we've got lots of other things here. We've got the sequester going on here. You know, there's a lot of debate about whether or not this is actually going to take place or not. We've got, like I said, we've got a little bit of immigration tidbits here. And we'll talk a little bit about Lincoln Day. So we're going to take a break. You're listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I am your host, Becky Noble. This is Conservative Cauldron Radio. And thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Conservative Cauldron, Bewitching Radio.
You are listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. My name is Becky Noble. I am your host of Conservative Cauldron Radio. Thanks for being here with me tonight. Thank God it's Friday. We finally made it through another week. I know it was a long one for me. I'm sure it was probably a long one for a lot of you as well. You know, we've got the sequester whole thing happening right now. And, you know, to a lot of people, including myself, you know, I really had to go online and really do some research and really, really educate myself just about what this is. And basically what it is if Congress does not come to some sort of agreement by a week from today, actually, we have a whole host of budget cuts and some tax, a little bit of both, some budget cuts and some tax increases going into effect next Friday. And right now, I mean, it's not so much about the fact that it's actually going to happen, but the fact that the White House is not willing to take any responsibility for bringing this whole thing about. And, you know, really this whole thing is kind of Barack Obama's baby. And he did it because he was facing re-election and wanted to get re-elected and didn't want to have a bunch of tax increases go into effect before the election. So they came up with this you know, weird thing that nobody really knows what it is, you know, to avert that. And, you know, with the whole Bush tax cuts that expired at the beginning of the year and everybody's paycheck got just a little bit smaller, and combined with the sequestration, this was the whole fiscal cliff that everybody was all in a bundle about around the first of the year that has since been kicked down the road till May, till spring at some point, until people actually get around to it. But you know, there's a lot of cuts here that actually, you know, there's it's like anything else, there's some good and bad in here. You know, there's a lot of defense cuts here. They're playing around with Medicare. You know, so you can look at this, and on the surface, there's a lot of things that are going to make you say, ooh, I don't know that this is such a good thing. But you know what? Republicans and conservatives have been pushing President Obama to make some cuts someplace, anywhere, anything, throughout his whole entire presidency. And this may be the one point at where he's forced to do it, that he's actually forced to make some spending cuts. Because, you know, bottom line, that's where the problem lies. The problem lies is in the fact that we cannot continue to spend money that we don't have. And, you know, it seems like it's monopoly money to him. And, you know, whether this is a good or a bad thing and these spending cuts go into effect, it may be the only way that we can get him to do it, you know. So there's that. Again, last weekend, President is also proposing that if Congress does not act on some sort of immigration reform, that, by gosh, he's going to act on his own because, you know, that pesky Congress gets in the way and it just, you know, all these checks and balances just get in the way of Barack Obama being able to do whatever the hell he wants to do, because apparently somewhere along the line, someone has told him that he is the king of something. You know, I don't know that, you know, with him being a constitutional lawyer and everything, you would think he would have discovered somewhere along the line that we don't have a king. But anyway, you know, I don't know that a lot of people are familiar with some of the immigration laws that our neighbors to the south in Mexico, not only do they have on their books and that they enforce, but they enforce vigorously. One of these things says that Mexico's main immigration law welcomes only foreigners deemed useful to Mexican society. So when you hear deemed useful to Mexican society, maybe that means that as soon as you step across the border, they actually expect you to have a job. There's a concept. There's another one here. Foreigners are admitted into Mexico according to their possibilities of contributing to national progress. Again, having to do with being gainfully employed, I would assume. A lot of these have to do with actually having some sort of employment set up when you once you enter the country. Here's an interesting concept. Foreigners with fake immigration papers may be fined or imprisoned. Now think about just for a second that if the United States fined or imprisoned people the minute they stepped across the border, can you not hear the left going berserk that they would be going into some sort of seizure of some kind, that we would be fining and or imprisoning people as they come across the border? How dare we? Foreigners who fail to obey the rules will be fined, deported, and or imprisoned as felons. Mexican authorities keep track of every person in the country. Again, there's a concept. What a novel idea. I know. Why not, when people come across the border, why don't we keep track of them? Hey, Bill, that's a great idea. Let's do that. Why didn't we think of that here? Oh, no, wait. We did. We're just not doing it. So, not only are all these things in Mexican immigration laws about being gainfully employed once you enter the country, they want people who are not going to be a drain on the system also in terms of health care. They want healthy, robust, vigorous people entering their country, which means that they don't want people entering their country who are going to be a drain on their society. And, you know, with America getting as obese as we are, you know, maybe that's something to think about. You know, I'm not saying that we should. Well, we're going to have the health police here shortly. Little do people know. But, you know, because when you have healthy, robust people who don't have a lot of health issues, in turn, those healthy, robust people are not going to be a drain on the economy, and they're going to be productive citizens. And that's what they're looking for. They're looking for people who are going to help the country. And, you know, who can blame them for that? So there's that. You know, there was kind of a sad story here the beginning of the week here as we wrap up all of the goings-on and the happenings of this week. Country music star Mindy McCready. Apparently she was found Sunday or Monday of just the beginning of this week from an apparent self-inflicted gunshot. Looks like an apparent suicide. I am not hugely familiar with country music. I enjoy some of it. I think that I love country music entertainers because they are so patriotic. And most of them, you know, are very, you know, they go to Iraq, they go to Afghanistan. They are ready to go above and beyond the call of duty for America and for our troops at any given time. And They're not an America-hating crowd. You can tell that by the lyrics in their songs. You can tell all those things. But you know, this is just it was just the whole story just kind of struck me that it's just another person who, you know, she had two young sons. One was just 10 months old. The father of her youngest son had also committed suicide about a month prior to this happening. I know that she had some problems with drug and alcohol abuse, and for anyone who has ever had to endure that or has a family member, it's something that the person who is addicted, if they live with that for the rest of their life, and it's a daily ongoing struggle. And, you know, I once heard somebody say one time that they didn't think that human beings were meant to be famous. And when you think about that statement, You think about all of the things that normal anonymous people are able to enjoy in the course of their lives versus somebody who's famous that can't You can't go to the mall. You can't go to a supermarket. You can't even just get in the car and drive down the block because somebody's going to see you and go, hey, isn't that, and then pretty soon there's 30 people around your car and they all want autographs and, oh, my God, I love you. And you're getting this constant barrage from people. And, you know, some people handle it very well. You have people who are child stars like Jodie Foster and Kurt Russell and people who were in the public eye, who were in that business from the time they were little kids, and they grew up into normal, responsible adults, and you know, have handled it very well. And you've got to admire that, because it even for a kid, for an adult, it's a big enough stress situation. I can only imagine what it's like if you're 12 or 13 years old and you're in the public eye. But you know, I just thought it was just a very sad story. You know, I don't know, you know, I'm sure they'll have to find some guardians for her children now. But Mindy McCready is dead at 37 years old. And that's a pretty young age to be gone from this life. You're at 37, your life is just beginning to start. And you're sometimes, for those of us who are late bloomers, sometimes you're just at that point beginning to find yourself. Some of us find ourselves sooner, some of us find ourselves later. But so there was that. That was kind of a sad thing to hear. Gosh, this half an hour goes by so fast. Let's see. That's right. Oh, we were going to talk about Lincoln Day. Just a second. Like I said, Lincoln Days was held here in St. Louis last weekend, and it was basically, you know, a convention for the GOP. And I heard a lot of the same themes. I heard a lot of people talk about reaching out to minority communities, reaching out to African Americans, reaching out to Hispanics, and getting that message out there. And the problem for a lot of people is how we're getting that message out there, because obviously whatever we're doing right now is not working. And it's going to have to be tweaked and molded into something else. So it was a really good time, met a lot of people and learned a lot of things, and there was just plenty to see and do. So anyway, I'm sure we will be talking about sequestration at length next week, depending on whatever happens here. I tend to think that at the last minute, it's going to be like the fiscal cliff thing. They're going to come to some sort of last minute agreement. But anyway, I've had a really great time being with you guys tonight. I hope that you are able to join me next week, and you are listening to the Conservative Cauldron. I am your host, Becky Noble. This is Conservative Cauldron Radio. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time.
You're listening to the Conservative Cauldron. Bewitching Radio.